tough.
Yeah, I got your reminder. Thank you for reminding me the next morning. Everyone got your reminder. So today's shiur Leila Nishmas Rachel Rivka Bas Yitzchak HaKohen Shem Zavon Aliyah Shavu Melitza Siyosha. So we're holding in chapter 3. Before we go further, so we began discussing yesterday. I just mentioned it, but there's a lot to learn about it, and I sort of was just mentioning yesterday to get everyone's appetite wet. To realize that it's a whole sugya that we're going to have to deal with, especially when we get to chapters 4 and 5. But the sugya that's spoken about a lot in Tanya is the difference between bringing a godly light within oneself, bringing an orally key, bringing a lokus, bipnimius, which by definition is therefore going to be less of a light because it's according to a person, within a person in a pneumistic way, therefore it has to be contracted. But it becomes who you are, or drawing down an infinite light that's above your kalim upon oneself, which is a greater light, but it doesn't so much become who you are. Which generally is that dialectic is going to be the difference between Torah and mitzvahs, hisbeinonus and a mitzvah. Right, these are, I just mentioned yesterday, the difference between the child with the iPhone and Sir Isaac Newton. Now we're going to speak about it more, Mitzvah Shem. But just this inyan that we began, that I just mentioned. So Menachem asked yesterday in the text and WhatsApp, he asked that L'chayr, but we have the whole inyan of Chukim, L'chayr, all mitzvahs, there's so much that we do that we don't have that we don't understand at all why. So I just want to say that's the whole Inyan that's all brought in Chassidus, the first Vav in this week's Parsha. The first letter in this week's Parsha is a Vav. Ve'eila HaMishpatim. Ve'eila HaMishpatim. Zot Rashi, Vav is Moisif, Ma'eila Misinai, Af'eila Misinai. What's Pshat Ma'eila Misinai, Af'eila Misinai? Kol HaTor Kula is Misinai. What's the Vav at the beginning of this week's Parsha that this the Mishpatim also Misinai? So Chassidus explains that Dafka Mishpatim, you have to have a Bezunder Ribui, you have to have a special Ribui to say that Mishpatim, which more than anything else, L'chayra, is about contracting one's light, that the Torah gets contracted according to us, according to our Kalim, it goes down according to our level, that Shema Mishbim is Lubish B'Kalim. You have to know that the same Koilus Ubrokim of Har Sinai, Aveyanu v'yamdu merochik, the gili milamayla, the huge gili of Ein Sof at Har Sinai, is the mishpatim. Also, ve'elam mishpatim. That leitirzach, what the Eibush said to Har Sinai, leitirzach, when a Jew doesn't steal, a mishpatim, all the dinyanim b'vakam b'mitzi that we do, that a Jew doesn't, well, there are Jews that steal, but that a Jew is not supposed to steal, all the different mitzvahs that we do in mishpatim. Yeah, all the different inyonim that it says in Mishpatim, Babakam, Bamatzi, the most mundane civil laws, are Misinai, is the same Gili of Ein Sof of the Eibishter as the Chukim. That really the Chukim and Mishpatim in their Pnimius are not different. Which is say just in simple, I mean, again, I don't want to get it to too much now, because we're going to learn as we go along, but just the Pashtus, we've spoken about it already many times, Torah is the Eibishter himself. As opposed to the Olamis, as opposed to the worlds, which are the contracted rays from God, a ha'arad, 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 a ray of God's light, Torah is Ein Sof. Torah is the Eibishter, which we've already learned many times, that if I would say it like this, tell me if this is a true sentence according to Chassidus. The reason we can't understand, the ultimate reason for Paraduma, let's say, or for the Chukim, is because we're not smart enough. Is that true, according to Chassidus, that the reason we can't understand the ultimate reason for mitzvahs is because we're not smart enough?
No.
Why is that not the ultimate truth? Why is that not saying it good enough? Why isn't it? Because our minds aren't great enough. Our minds aren't great enough to be able to understand. Hashem didn't reveal it to our brain, so therefore we can't comprehend it. Is that it? The purpose was that tzachok. Okay, I'm not getting into teleology. I'm not getting into purpose right now. I'm saying bechlal. The fact that as we can't understand chukim or a lot of these yam is because we're not smart enough or Hashem didn't reveal it to us. Is that the ultimate truth? What have we learned already many times? Think for a second about what we've learned already many times when we say the Eibishter, that the Torah comes from Ein Sof. It's the same thing, that we're not a kli for it is the same thing.
We never needed to know the...
God is not smart enough.
Ma?
Ma?
Apparently we didn't learn anything.
I wouldn't phrase it that God isn't smart enough, but how would you phrase it? It's coming from a place where God isn't smart yet. It's from Ein Sof. What have we learned many times? Before Tzimtzum, there are no spheres. There are no spheres. Chabad is after Tzimtzum. Chabad of Atzilus. It's after Tzimtzum. At that level of Ein Sof, God's wisdom, Chachma d'Atzilus, and physical mud are equal. When Ein Sof looks from the Ein Sof's perspective. God doesn't have Seichel yet. Not a kiviyachol. The whole union of seichel is after tzimtzum. All of Torah comes from that place. The gans call a Torah kula. Torah comes from Ein Sof. Wait, Rega, you're jumping. Wait. All of Torah comes from that place of Ein Sof. Do you understand? It's not that we're not smart enough. It's coming from Ein Sof, which is above God's intellect. God doesn't have intellect yet. Intellect is a huge read. It's a tzimtzum. He has to have gans tzimtzum to be able to have chabad. It's coming from a place where intellect is mamash abriya. Yeah?
So what about mitzvah that you do?
Shnia. One thing at a time. That's what just Yishai said. Do you get the Torah? It's not pshat that we're not smart enough. It wasn't revealed to us. We're not smart enough. Torah comes from Ein Sof. The mahus of Torah is Ein Sof. Which means it's coming from a place above spheres, which means that God didn't yet contract himself and descend to what's called infinite seichel. Infinite wisdom is after tzimtzum. The mahus of Torah is the Eibishter, not seichel. Now, so what's the difference now? So that's where Torah comes from Ein Sof. Now that Torah comes down to this world, what's the difference between Chukim and Mishpatim? So Chassidus says the difference is that there were some mitzvahs that the Eibishter wanted that when Torah comes down to this world, it should also enter the realm of creation. And not only is it something that is a mitzvah being told us what to do, but that it should go through such a tzimtzum that it should even enter our minds that we should understand that it makes sense not to steal and not to kill. Be'etzem not stealing and not killing is the same Ein Sof as putting on your right shoe before your left shoe. It's the same Ein Sof as the Paraduma. It's the same Ein Sof, Be'etzem. And that's why by Har Sinai, when Eibishter said Le'tirtzach, it was the same Koilus who broke him and the whole world was trembling. And Altava says, L'chariz Dvarim Pshutim. Zachman, no, that Le'tirtzach is a different Le'tirtzach. The Le'tirtzach of Matan Torah is not Tikkun Olam. The Le'tirtzach Matan Torah is not like by the Shevitz. Shevitz B'nai Noach, they knew not to kill, not to steal. That was Tikkun Olam. By Matan Torah, when the Eibishter said Le'tirtzach, is Atzmus Umuhus. Ananashik Savas Yavs. The Eibishter puts Ein Sof in the Mishpatim of Har Sinai. And the only difference between Chukim Mishpatim is that these mitzvahs of Kadosh Baruch Hu decide that we should have an understanding, and Chukim remain B'muhusim, that they're above understanding. And that, this is that fakir. The Rebbe says that the biggest Kabbalah Somachu Shemaim, that Chassidus says, what the biggest Kabbalah Somachu Shemaim is? That you feel that why do I understand Mishpatim? Why should I understand that it's wrong to steal and to kill? Why should I understand Mishpatim? Why? Because Hashem also said so. That's also part of His Ratzin. Hashem's Ratzin is that these mitzvahs you should talk to understand. And that's kilu, even a bigger bittel than chukim. That's what Besson the Rebbe says. It's a bigger bittel than chukim. Chukim is the pshat that I'm not a metzias. It's come from a place of Ein Sof. Mishpatim is the pshat that be'etzim af elu misinai, be'etzim they're also ein sof. Tak b'mahusam, b'mahus the Torah is always ein sof, all 613 mitzvahs, the mishpatim also. No, but here the bittul has to be such a bittul that the Eibishter wants that the ein sof should also penetrate my psyche and I should understand. I should understand that it's the wrong thing to do to steal because that's what the Eibishter wants also. So all of Torah's be'etzim ein sof. Ve'eila mishpatim, the vav is saying that this is also misina, it's all ein sof, it's all gilior ein sof. The mishpatim also. It's just that these mitzvahs, the Kodesh Baruch Hu decided should be mislabish and safe. And that's the story. You all know the famous story of Bichil Yaakov Weinberg. I've said it in Halachic Man, I said it. Bichil Yaakov Weinberg, the Sri Deyesh, who was the Rav in Berlin, in the Rabbiner Seminar in the University of Berlin. He was the one that he had a section of the university, it was for rabbis. That's where Rav Huttner learned, the Rebbe learned in Berlin. It was a big, big Talmud, a huge Talmud Chacham, a very special person, the Sri Deyesh. And he was very well, you know, connected to the professors over there in philosophy. And at that time, in the beginning of the 20th century, I mean, Germany was, it's hard for us to imagine, but the greatest philosophers were in Germany at that time. The greatest minds in Europe were in Germany at that time. And one of these great German professors of ethics went to the Sri Deyesh and said to him, "Tell me, Rabbi Weinberg, I just read in Judaism that a goy can't be a judge in your court. That I cannot be a judge in your court." And he was a professor of ethics, of law, and it was, you know, Ivritim Zaya Fadicha. Yes, it was embarrassing that he comes to him and he says, "I can't be a judge in your court. You don't trust me, you think I'm not ethical." So Sri Deish said to him on the spot, he said to him, "Let me ask you, does it insult you if you know that it says that in Judaism you can't be part of a minyan in a prayer service?" So he said, the professor said, "No, that I understand. It's a prayer service, it's a religious ceremony, it's something that's to do with the religion. You have to be a member of that religion. Just like by us, in the Lahavdil by a church, to be able to do certain, what do they call them, ceremonies, you have to be part of their religion." So Sri Deyesh said to him, "By us, a judge, a court, a financial court, is a religious ceremony. It's not less Eibishter than a shul. Ve'elam mishpatim means when you go to work after davening, it's ma'elam esina af elam esina. It's ma'elam esina af elam esina. That's ve'elam mishpatim. A Jew goes to work and you're supposed to be honest at work the same way that you daven. There's no difference between ben adam l'chaver, ben adam l'makom. Not chas v'sham, like some Jews think that ben adam l'makom, I have to be very, very chassidish. Ben adam l'chaver, I hear, you know, Yiddishkeit says I could make shmai dry. It's ma'ayla mesinai, af'ayla mesinai. It's the same, there's not, business is not less avedas Hashem than putting on tefillin. Choysha mishpat is the same for the Shulchan Aruch like Aruch Chaim. Sri Deish, Pichel Yaakov Weinberg. But what it means to us in our daily life is when you go to work, it's ve'ela mishpatim. The vav is saying, bring that into your daily life. It's not less Eibishter than David. Tov, let's go right inside chapter 3. But we're going to learn more about the difference between the pnimius and the makif. We'll get to it in these chapters. But let's see inside. So we left off yesterday. We're learning that the difference between emotions and intellect. Emotions are, the Alter Rebbe uses a lashon, the very bottom line, Toldos Chabad, the offspring of intellect. Oh, so remember, yes, the difference is between the godly soul and the animal soul. This is what we last spoke of yesterday. As opposed to the animal soul, where you don't need intellect to meditate to have emotions.
Which is not true exactly, because anything that you see, even though it's millions of a second, you still need processes in order to have time for it. Right? Meaning, I see something, I like it right away, but it went from my brain.
Right, so but that that's very, so again, we'll get to it more in chapter 6, but don't, by the animal soul, that the brain processes it, is the brain acts like eyes. The brain acts like eyes, which is just, it gives you an awareness that lets you know that there's something there. It's not, but you're a good question, but what, by the divine soul, emotions are the offspring of intellect. Not just that the intellect serves just to show that something is there. But it's an actual offspring. They're children. Love and fear, av and yira, are children of intellect, which means literally there has to be a meditation. There has to be a procreative act. There has to be an actual zivug. There has to be an actual time where one is involved in meditating to be able to bring about these emotions. And that's what we're going to begin learning today. Let's see. Let's learn what he says, and then we'll talk about it. Let's see. Let me say in simple English. You ask if it's impossible. Let me say in simple English. One of the things that you have to always be careful. Mitzarachad, I like doing with Tzachani, it's dangerous. If I would say to you to write not an essay, two sentences, somebody should ask you, why should I love God? How does that answer the question? If that's the only thing, huh?
That's the only thing that counts.
Well, you just said a whole bunch of things. If that's the only thing there is, so you might as well love that because there's nothing else anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Not anyway. There's nothing else.
Uh-huh.
I'm a piece of Hashem, so I should love myself. So it's a self-love. Okay, I hear you. And what did you say? Because God said so. Oh, that works. Okay. So the point is, I want you to just bear in mind that it would make sense that if Avas Hashem is something we're all striving for, we should be able to say a couple of sentences clearly to others and to ourselves, why should I love God? It should be clear in our mind. Vidal. You know what Vidal is? In Hebrew, Vidal Lemaven. Or as they would say, Nuf said. Let's go further and we'll talk about it more. But the bottom line is, Avas Hashem has to be, in very simple English, you can't love something you don't experience. You can't love something you don't experience. Impossible. How could you love something that you never experienced? How could you love God if you never experienced Him? Uh-huh. I hear you. Pizza is a lot more recent than Har Sinai. Right? So if my only experience of God was Har Sinai, is that ever going to be more possible to be more real than pizza? Could I ever love God as much as pizza? Huh? It's innate like a child loves a parent. Okay, I hear you.
Is that a real thing, though?
Is what a real thing?
If you never met your parent, you would love them.
That's a good question. Josh is saying, if you never met your parent, would you love them?
Or would you...
Possibly, okay. Possibly not. It's in our neshama to love him. You're all saying, like, magical things, you know. It's all like, it sounds like fairy tales, right? You know. What? So the point I'm just trying to say at this point, I'm not, you know, I'm trying to...
You would, because...
You would what?
Let's say that, you know, think about it.
You would love it.
You would. There's always that yearning, and then if you're...
There's always that yearning. Have you met teenagers? I mean, if we don't want to talk about ourselves, everyone has that yearning?
No.
Maybe in Eish Kodesh, maybe.
You asked the question.
I know. And I'm saying so, but how's a person if a person doesn't have the yearning?
What's the
yearning? No, you said,
Shuka.
I was just trying to think about it. Your question was, if you never met your parent, would you love
them? Right. Oh, no, you're asking now that. If you're yearning... Oh, about Yishai's thing. No, my question was, why should you love God? And Yishai said... I didn't say that. Yishai said that because every child loves their parent. So Josh said, what if you never met them? If the children never met their parent, they don't love them necessarily.
Would you? I don't know. You can take that aspect.
First of all, not every child loves their parent b'chlal. Second of all, especially if they never met their parent.
That's if they were with them, but if they didn't, it's almost... You understand you came to this world somehow. And
yeah, would you love the parent that you never met, or would you just appreciate them?
Some don't appreciate. There are some children that are that are.
Well,
let's not let.
Yeah.
Let's not get off tangent to it. Yeah. Yeah, but that instinct. What I'm saying is that instinct. First of all, it's not necessarily always a love. Second of all, not everybody has it. Third of all, the bottom line is that most of us. The question is that most people, you say to them, love God. And if they're honest, they'll say to you, oh, why? Oh, he's your father. Oh, okay. We're talking practically. How do you talk to come to love Hashem? Yeah. Nachma, Rob, I'm saying, again, I hear there. Most children will love the parents instinctively, but not all. And again... Rob, I want to tell you something. You know why sometimes it's harder to teach Tanya to frum people? Because, I don't know if they know too much, but frum people think that we have to tote the party line and not really stop to think I say things like, I love God because he's my father. Every child loves their father. What? Exactly, you're right. Most of the Democrats, because their parents were Democrats, because, you know, my grandmother says a story, that when Eisenhower was running, so my grandmother's a smart lady, so she knows that he liberated Auschwitz or whatever, Bergen-Belsen, the concentration camp, so she wanted to vote for him. And she said her sister's like, he's a Republican. Like, she said, my grandmother says on the air, she's like, my sister, busy, she didn't understand why he's a Demo, he's a Republican, why. And she says, I vote for the man, I'm not voting for the party. But yeah, there's some Jews, a Democrat, you have to vote Democrat. Some Jews, you know, from people, he's our father, so I love him. You know, Mizucht was so used to, like Ben says, we don't challenge ourselves, we're so used to saying things. But the bottom line,
that wouldn't even be real love.
What? Of course it wouldn't be any real love. Just because he's my father doesn't mean I love him necessarily. There's a lot of... But the bottom line I just want to say to you is that the reason that when it comes to God, emotions are toldos, our offspring, in very simple English, is because you can't love something you never experienced. As David Simon said yesterday, Taimeru ki tov Hashem, taste God. How do you taste God? You have to meditate on him. You can't... We have five senses. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. When it comes to Gashmias, like, you keep saying, why do we automatically right away love Gashmias? Because you see it, you taste it. So you have the intellect just to be able to see it and stuff. But you experience it, you taste it, right? When it comes to God, you can't see him, you can't hear him, you can't touch him, you can't smell him. What do? How do you experience him? By meditating. It's the only way to experience him. Now, therefore, that's the only way to have emotions. Let's see inside. The explanation of the matter is as follows. We're turning the page. We're going to read now I'm going to read here of the whole column and then we're going to go back because this is a one long sentence and we're going to read the sentence and then we'll go back. Look, the explanation is as follows. So if you don't get the details, I want you to look at the forest and then we'll get back to the trees, okay? The intellect of the rational soul, which is the faculty that conceives anything, is given the appellation, the title, Chachma, the potentiality of what is. When one brings forth this power from the potential into the actual, that is, when a person cogitates, meaning thinks, meditates, with his intellect, in order to understand a thing truly and profoundly, as it evolves from the concept which he has conceived in his intellect of Chachma, this is then called Bina. These, Chachman Bina, are the very father and mother which give birth to the love of God and awe and dread of Him. Why? For when the intellect in the rational soul deeply contemplates and immerses itself exceedingly in the greatness of God, how He fills all worlds and encompasses all worlds, footnote 5, both immanently and transcendency, he's both immanent within the world, and his light infinitely transcends the world, and in the presence of whom everything is considered as nothing, there will be born and when you meditate on that, there will be born and aroused in his mind and thought the emotion of awe for the divine majesty, to fear and be humble before his greatness. Blessed be he which is without end or limit, and to have the dread of God in his heart. Next, his heart will glow with an intense love like burning coals, with a passion, desire, and longing, and a yearning soul toward the greatness of the Ein Sof, blessed is he. This constitutes the culminating passion of the soul, of which Scripture speaks, Nichseva gam kol sanafshi, my soul yearns, indeed it pines, Soma nafshi lelekim, my soul thirsts for God, and Soma lecha nafshi, my soul thirsts for you. This thirst is derived from the element of fire, which is found in the divine soul. As students of natural science affirm, and so does in Eitz Chaim, that the element of fire is in the heart, while the source of water is in the brain, as explained in Eitz Chaim, the faculty of Chochmah, the water of the divine soul. And the rest of the midos, the emotions, are all offshoots of fear and love, and the derivations, as explained elsewhere. So what did the Alter Rebbe just say?
A lot.
A lot.
That you love God, you know.
So he said really three things. He said Chochmah, he explained what's Chochmah, he explained then what Bina is, he then explained how Chochmah and Bina together work like a father and a mother to bring about the emotions of love, to bring about that passionate longing of love, which in simple English means you can't have that passionate longing and yearning if you don't have Chochmah and Bina, because you can't love something you don't experience. Chachman Bina is how you experience God. So, we have to now go back and say, what are these three steps of Chachmah and Bina? Now, the first thing you notice is that what does he keep saying in the beginning, in the very first lines on the page, how does he keep defining Chachmah? What's the main word he keeps using for Chachmah? Potential. You see, he keeps saying the Chachmah is potential? He keeps saying the Chachmah is potential. Right? Chachmah. Chachmah is Chachmah. The potentiality of what is. Anyone know what that means? What's the difference between what is Chachmah and why is it the potential of Bina? Meaning if you just have Chachmah without Bina, you have the potential without the actual. So always remember, why is a father without a mother a potential without an actual? So you all understand why. When it comes to making children, fathers are just the potential. Without the mother, it's just a potential. There's no actual.
Our mother's potential too.
What?
Our mother's potential too.
Yeah, but the mother's ke'ilu, there's nothing there that's potential. You understand? The original potential is in the man. The mother doesn't have the whole shail and halacha. If by the woman there's such thing as ashchas zera b'chal, it's all shail b'chal.
Isn't
the So I understand. So I just said to you, in halacha, there's a whole shaila. If a woman is a din of, it's called ashchas zera. L'chor, there's no din of ashchas zera by a woman. But we're not going to get into the biology of it. But the potential is by the male, and the female of them brings it into actuality. So a chachma without a bina is potential without actual. So now let's see what is chachma, what is bina. Now let me ask you. According to this, can a person have a chachma without a bina? 100%. Yeah, we're saying it. You could have a chachma without a bina. Based on what anyone has ever learned, I'm sure most of you already learned more or less, I'm going to speak again now what it is, but based on what you've learned before about the chachma bina, can anyone tell me what you think it means, a chachma without a bina?
Yeah.
No? Why is it potential without actual?
Can I say it as this? Can I say it's like
emunah bitachon? It's not emunah bitachon because chachma by definition it's already a seichel. It's already...
It's safe, all right, it's an understanding, but it's
right.
Like, but okay, so it's basically data.
Okay.
Data, and then the other is...
Bina?
Bina would be the legs of the data. You know,
the legs of the data, the processing of the data, let's say. Yeah, it's real?
Initial thought.
Okay. What else? Right. In other words, it's the potentiality. It's the idea without the potential of developing the thought, which in simple English means the difference between chachma and bina is like this: chachma is learning an idea generally. If you don't think about it, thinking. What do we learn? What's thinking?
Well, wait.
This is very important. We're learning that this is very important. So let's not jump. So Yaakov said, but you're not thinking about it. What do we learn? What is the act of thinking known as?
Bina.
No. That's a levush. The actual act of thinking is a garment of the soul, is machshava, which means you could think about chokhmah. So bina is not just thinking about it. That's you could think. Thinking is a levush. What's there between learning the concept, the potential of learning a concept generally, and thinking about it? So is machshava. So what's bina? Let's look inside. So let's read inside. Let's read inside. Oh, now, what'd you just say? Pratim. Look inside. Look inside. Pratim, meaning details. Look inside. Let's read inside. The intellect of the rational soul, which is the faculty that conceives anything, the original chokhmah, is given the appellation of chokhmah, the potentiality of what is. What do you mean the potentiality of what is? The idea, an idea is given into your mind. A general idea is put into your mind. What's known in Chassidus as Barak HaMavrik, the lightning flash of wisdom. You have a new idea put into your mind. A general idea. God is good. God is great. God is awesome. He's fantastic. Great, awesome. I don't feel love. You know why? It's a potential, it's just a very general potential idea. That's a father. That's just the father. Look inside. When one brings forth this power from the potential into the actual, that is when a person cogitates with his intellect in order to understand the thing truly and profoundly, as it evolves from the concept which he has conceived in his intellect, this is called bina. Again, let's read it inside. Look again. When a person brings from the potential into the actual, menakoyach alapoyel, that is, when a person meditates with his intellect in order to understand the thing truly and profoundly, as it evolves from the concept which he has conceived in his intellect, this is called bina. Very simple, let me give you a very simple mashal to enter the whole idea of the difference in chokhmah and bina. You're sitting by your, you know, by Sunday morning breakfast, you're sitting down, it's 10 o'clock, you're lazing around, let's say you went to Davin, or you're still in your PJs, whatever it is, and you sit down with your Sunday breakfast, with your toast and your coffee and your, you know, Aunt Jemima pancakes with maple syrup and an omelet, whatever, and the hash browns, whatever it is that you have for your Sunday morning breakfast, and you have your slippers and you're all excited to be, you sit there very comfortably in your robe and you're all excited to have to slowly, you know, have your Sunday morning breakfast, and all of a sudden you put the Sunday Times in front of you. You open up the New York Times and you see a headline: earthquake in Indonesia, 25,000 people dead. What do you then do? You turn the page and you say to your wife, "Could you please pass the oranges?" So you see they had 25,000 people dead in an earthquake. Oh, that's so horrible. You know that. Oy, Nebuch, pass the butter, I want to put on my bread. Pass the butter. What happens, on the other hand, if you actually watch on TV an in-depth program where they show the actual people in the earthquake and they show you the stories that are happening, and you see mothers crying over children, you see people, you know, that are actually lost loved ones, and you see all the detail, or you read about it. You read in depth details of what happened. Then all of a sudden you get emotional, then all of a sudden you can't eat. Detail, you can't come to have emotions with just from a general idea. You have to be involved in the details of the idea. That's why always, in every movie they make about catastrophes, whether it's like, you know, Escape from Manhattan or Titanic or any of these movies, they're always going to be focusing on one or two stories. You remember, like, when they have the hijack, and the airplane is hijacked? So they always show you, like you have, you know, 500 people on the airplane, but they show you, like, two or three people specifically that are going on the plane that are hijacked, right? They focus on, you know, this guy that's got engaged, and they focus, you know, they show you two or three personal stories. Why? There are five. And when the Titanic sinks, You don't care about the other 400 people. You don't cry about the other 1,000 people. You're just crying about this one idiot that, you know, falls off, that she throws off the plank, right? You're only crying about the 2 or 3 people that you know from the story. Why? Why aren't you crying about the 500 people? You're invested. What does it mean you're invested? You know the details. It speaks to you. A general idea is just a potential. There are people that go through the whole life saying, God is great. God is good. Eino mabado. Everything is God. Awesome. Pass the orange juice. Bina is the pshat. You have to know details about it. In order for it to have an effect in a pnimizdika way, you have to come to pratim. That's to bring the potential to the actual. Continue tomorrow.
We're going to learn about das tomorrow.
We're going to finish Chachma Bina and get to das mitzvah.
My hevdel az ben bina le levush ha-machshava.
Exactly. The machshava is the